is ABC North Coast.
It's 11 past nine. Well, prostate cancer is the second most common cause of cancer-related death in Australian men after lung cancer. One in five men will have that dreaded diagnosis. But despite the incidence of prostate cancer, there is some good news as well, because for most men, it is a slow-growing cancer, although some will have the aggressive form. And there are plenty of treatment options. Among those options is radiation therapy, a treatment that many shy away from, but which has come leaps and bounds in the past decade. And to tell us more, I'm joined by radiation oncologist, Associate Professor Sandra Turner. Good morning.
Good morning.
How effective is radiation therapy in treating prostate cancer?
Radiation therapy is more and more effective over the last 10 years, so that now the clinical trials that have been done show that it's pretty well equivalent to radical prostatectomy, which is the operation that completely removes the prostate. So it's now become a curative option for the management of many prostate cancers. So our message is not necessarily that one is better than the other, but that we really want men to be fully informed about their treatment options so that they can weigh up the pros and cons of the treatments that are out there and decide which is best for them.
So why does it have such a bad rap?
I think it's because people already have a natural fear of radiation. It's a bit of a scary name, and people associate, you know, radiation with causing cancers and atomic bombs and all sorts of nasty connotations. But I guess what we're talking about here is a very, very focused and precise use of X-ray beams that can actually avoid men often needing any invasive procedures at all. I think also there just seems to be a bit of a lack of awareness about radiation therapy. When people think of cancer, they think of cutting it out, they think of drugs or chemotherapy. But despite the widespread use of radiation and the increasing sophistication and the very huge benefits, not only in prostate cancer but for many other cancers, it's just not as well known as other treatments. So I guess our message is to, through our awareness campaigns, and we've got one organised by our college, which is called targetingcancer.com.au, we're getting out a lot of information to the public and to prospective patients and their families. And also recently an article went out to every general practitioner in Australia, describing to them the benefits and the possibilities with radiation therapy, specifically for men with prostate cancer.
Mm. Can we take a look at the two rough categories of prostate cancer? And firstly, those people who have the aggressive form of cancer, what would be the gold standard treatment for somebody who has been diagnosed, has just received a diagnosis with that aggressive form?
There is a bit of a sense of there being aggressive and non-aggressive prostate cancers in the lay world. In fact, that's not really how it works. There is a spectrum of prostate cancers from very bland and what we call low-risk prostate cancers, and those are the ones that often don't need treating. In fact, we don't even know whether we should be detecting those, and they're men that really could be safely observed in case there is any progression, but many of those won't need treatment. And then we have a whole spectrum of what we call intermediate to high-risk prostate cancers. And in those men, they will at some point usually need to have some active treatment. And that's where the choices come in. So there's rarely one treatment that is absolutely better than the other. The options, according to the clinical trials and guidelines, are that many of these cancers, in fact, you know, the majority, are suitable for radiation therapy or surgery. And that's where it comes down to individual doctors not necessarily being able to decide for the patient, but for the patient actually to hear the information from a surgeon and from a radiation oncologist, understand the pros and cons and the costs of treatment, and then they're in a position to with the doctors, try to work out what they think would suit them best. So it really is unusual in that there's a lot of patient choice and the need for information for them to decide which they would prefer to go.
So if you live in the country, is it accessible to have access to these experts, to hear from them the pros and cons of each method of treatment and perhaps a combination?
Look, obviously, the more remote you are, the more difficult it is to access all health services, unfortunately, and it is a challenge in regional and rural centres. In the North Coast, we now have comprehensive cancer centres in Lismore and Coffs Harbour and Port Macquarie, so it is becoming more accessible to see a radiation oncologist. A lot of people get the sense that they need to go to a major capital city or go to Sydney to have their treatment. In fact, that's not through for surgery or radiation therapy, and that's where we hope to empower GPs to know that, which is what's a little bit closer to home, so that they can access information sometimes even before they get to see the health specialist.
Can you talk us through what side effects there might be of radiation and how that's changed since it was first being practiced?
Yeah, of course. Look, the main thing across all radiation therapy is that the more targeted we can make the radiation and the less of the normal tissues that we need to treat, the less the side effects affect patients. And that's very much the case in prostate cancer. So we can aim now for millimetre accuracy to the region of the prostate. And we use various methods to do this with tiny little gold seeds that we place inside the prostate. Not radioactive seeds, although that is another option for the treatment of prostate cancer. But even with external beam x-rays, we can focus this very accurately. What that means is that there is always a risk of side effects. During the treatment, some men get some mild bladder or urinary side effects and sometimes some irritation of the bowel. That's getting less and less as time goes on, and we can increase the precision. But there are some long-term studies now that show the chance of having impotence and erectile problems and the chance of having incontinence is lower with radiation therapy options compared to having radical prostatectomy. So the side effect profile for radiation is actually now very favourable.
I'm speaking to Associate Professor Sandra Turner. She's a radiation oncologist and an expert in the field. And we're speaking about radiation because it's a treatment for prostate cancer that often doesn't get the attention that it deserves and sometimes is overlooked by people suffering prostate cancer. Can you also talk us through what hormone therapy or androgen deprivation therapy is and how that might be used in combination?
Yeah, sure. That's a very important question because often when you're approaching prostate cancer, and particularly for the, as you say, the slightly more aggressive ones, often it's combination treatment that's recommended. So even if men have surgery, they sometimes may need to have radiation therapy afterwards if the cancer comes back or some cells have been left behind. We're using radiation therapy as a curative measure without surgery, we often use somewhere between 6 months and 2 years of androgen deprivation therapy. So that can also have some side effects, and it's important to explain all of those to men. The main thing that is doing is reducing the male hormone testosterone. And what that can do is to make men feel a little bit tired. It can cause some hot flushes, like a woman going through menopause. And over the longer term, we also have to manage men's general metabolic health. So that means watching out for diabetes and blood pressure and bone thinning. Now, all of those sound like a lot of side effects, but as long as we have explained those to men and we minimise the effects of those, and one of the very effective ways of minimising effects is for men to be on a regular exercise program. So we will counsel men about this if they need to go on hormone therapy. It can be used for short term with radiation. Hormone therapy is also more commonly used when the cancer comes back for stabilising the disease or trying to put it into remission for the men that can't be cured. So there's a number of different ways that we use hormone therapy with and without other treatments. Now, information last week was also trying to explain to GPs the very important role they have in monitoring all of these side effects and issues in relation to the hormone treatment, because a lot of that can be done by the family doctor very close to home.
How easy is it to diagnose the type of prostate cancer that someone has? If somebody's looking through a scope at a biopsy, a skin sample or whatever, or from the urine and the samples in it, what's the difference between these different forms of prostate cancer?
Yeah, very good question. So the main thing that gets looked at is the biopsy, as you said, of the actual prostate gland, and the pathologist will give them a score, basically from 2 to 5. I won't go into the details of that, but the simple way of explaining it is they look at prostate cancer and they compare it to normal prostate cells. And the higher the score, the more different and the more sort of bizarre and unusual the cells look. So that's one of the features we take into account. There are two other factors that are important when we're deciding how active a cancer is and how much treatment it needs. So the second thing is what the PSA blood test is. And again, if the PSA blood test is below 10, that's more favourable. If it's 10 to 20, that puts somebody more likely into an intermediate risk phase. And then if it's greater than 20, again, that's high risk. And then the third feature is this, what we call the stage of the cancer. And that's how localised it is to the prostate or how much it's spread outside the prostate. And that can be determined through the finger test, through the rectal examination. Plus now we have fancier images and tests, particularly MRI of the prostate can help us evaluate that. So the combination of the stage and the biopsies and the PSA are all used together to predict a man's likely need for treatment and response to treatment. So it's very complicated.
Yeah, it is indeed. Fascinating, though. And if somebody has been given a diagnosis with the non-malignant type, the least malignant type, is it possible that that prognosis could change and that it could become more aggressive, or is it simply a different type of prostate cancer?
No, very much so. It can change. So I guess by definition, if it's a cancer, it's not benign, it's malignant. But as you say, you can get sort of very bland types of prostate cancer that really don't look much different from a normal prostate cells. And they estimate that by the time a man gets into his 60s, there's nearly a 50% chance that a few of those cells will be there. So this is why we've got to be careful not to over-diagnose it and put men through treatment that might actually cause them more harm than good. And these early cancers we call low-risk prostate cancers. And the international standards, and certainly in Australia, we would also agree that these men would best go on to a program called active surveillance. And what that means is that they get closely monitored. They don't have any actual treatment, but they get monitored by their doctors, and that can be with scans and blood tests and often repeat biopsies. And if the cancer does become more nasty, based mainly on the PSA test and the biopsies, then that man might move into the phase of being recommended to have some active treatment. And from long-term studies that have been done, somewhere over their lifetime and over, say, the next 10 years, this was shown in a big English study last year, somewhere around 40% of men will actually progress with that program to go on and need active treatment. But it does mean that some men avoid treatment altogether, and it also means that other men, if they were going to get side effects of treatment, can at least delay those for another 5 or more years, which is obviously beneficial. The downside is that it's hard for some people, obviously, to be diagnosed with cancer and then be told that nothing's going to be done about it. So that's why we've got to weigh up, you know, the psychological benefits of picking up every single cancer versus us actually being able to make a change for that man. And it's a very, very difficult and controversial area, and I feel very strongly for men and their families that are trying to sort of unpick all this difficult science. Mm.
It has been very, very informative speaking to you. Thank you so much for bringing us this topic today. Really appreciate your time.
That's my pleasure. Okay, bye-bye.
Associate Professor Sandra Turner, she's an expert in radiation therapy and oncologist, and speaking there about the benefits of modern radiation therapy and hormone therapy, a treatment which can sometimes be overlooked. Coming up next, news headlines, and then the Sound Lounge after that with Mark Swivel. But first, Harrison Storm, a little song called Change It All.